Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. It's always a pleasure to have you tune in and spend some time with us, and we hope you feel the same way. We have Bob and Mary Griswold with us tonight.
Hello.
Hello.
And Mary, if you don't already know, is the publisher, author, writer, chief executive, and everything else of rightwinggranny.com.
I'm her chauffeur.
Yeah, and Bob's the chauffeur.
Yeah, and some of the other people down at the 107.1 The Talk station have taken some of our talent and put it to work down there. I guess I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
She does a great job. She's on the Lockwood Phillips show quite often.
Yeah, she is doing a good job
Viewpoints,
there.
Viewpoints, right.
I even got her picture in this last county compass.
Yeah, that was with Starnes, and I listened to him on the radio a little bit today.
All right. Diane couldn't be with us tonight. She's up in the mountains visiting her daughter, so we miss her and hope she'll get back here safely soon. And, you know, I've been shorting Rainer on the introductions for quite a while because Rainer does so much. I was at a loss for words of how to put it in words and let you know, but Rainer James, she's a wife of our chairman, Hal James. She's also the editor of your Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and Action
First
page.
Thing is the most important thing she is.
Yeah.
Has been for 60 years.
Yes, dear. Thank you.
She lays the article out and gets it ready for the printer each week and sometimes writes articles for it herself, and she's quite an accomplished writer, too. She's also our membership chairman for CCTA, and she frequently plugs for like-minded folks to join CCTA, and this is your opportunity.
Well, as usual, we need help. We've got a lot of stuff to do, and more people doing it would make for lighter work for everybody who's overloaded.
All right. And we also have Rainer as our PR co-chair. That's public relations co-chair. She shares that position with Bill Poole and does a great job promoting us, our meetings, our activities, and our projects. And
Bill takes the lead in that. I just supplement what he does.
And she participates in whatever's afoot, she says. So that includes washing windows and scrubbing floors. But do not call the CCTA number to get her services for
that. Not happening.
All right. And her husband, of course, Hal James. Hal?
Well, I want to mention one thing that I do. We haven't said much about it, but I'm the person that coordinate the activities involving our sponsors for our radio show, and we like to promote them as best we can. We do it on the radio show, and I think we do an excellent job of that. But I also would like to have a couple more sponsors, and I think we have room for them. So if you're interested in discussing that with us, I'm the right person for you to talk to.
That's right. Hal is in charge of that, and he has been doing a great job. We have some wonderful sponsors, very loyal sponsors, been with us quite a while, and we hope you'll go out and visit with them and tell them that you heard about them on CCTA.
As a matter of fact, we only lost a couple since we started 4 years ago.
All righty. Well, it's hard to figure out where you want to start when there's so much going on in the news cycle. And, of course, we're recording on Wednesday. Yesterday was Election Day. I'm really, really trying to figure out why people aren't more active in exercising their right and their privilege to go to the polls and vote. The turnout is nowhere near what it should be. when the country is in the shape it's in, and we have an opportunity to change it, fix some of the things that are wrong with it. And we do that by exercising our right at the polls. Right, Bob?
You know, Rick, along with that, and I'm not going to name the name of the town, but I am going to name, there was a town, commissioners, the town commissioners election, and the ballots were cast, picked four of them, okay, the top vote down through the fourth vote. The fourth place was 50 votes. The next person had 49. The next person had 48. The next person had 45. Don't you think every vote counts?
And this wasn't a real small town either.
It's not a horribly small town.
Was it in North Carolina you're talking about?
Yes. I'd like to mention something.
Almost within our shadow.
Okay. But
I want to mention one, and I will call the name, and that's Havelock. And I worked out there yesterday. Ryan and I both did. We worked out in some of that rain, but it was quite a good experience. But I was really, really surprised because the turnout was so low. There were less than 600 people that voted in that election. And if I'm not mistaken, there's about 8,500 registered voters in that section.
Wow.
So anyway, look at the percentage. Less than 600 and 8,500. Just people aren't concerned, apparently. I don't understand it.
Well, you know, countywide, 1,755 voters out of 19,359 voters voted.
Yeah.
9%.
That's ridiculous. It's
just
abysmal.
Part of the problem is that I don't think people are convinced that their vote changes anything. It's like we don't realize that our vote does count, and that if we don't like what's going on, that we have the power to change it. We're responsible for our leaders. We're responsible for electing those people. And if we're going to sit around and complain about them, we better be willing to go out and vote for somebody else. And
only voting rights give complaining rights? Is that what you're saying?
What you're also saying is we're responsible for the future.
Yes.
Because that's the future of our country. Something that's just as frightening or just something that escapes me as to how it could happen. Right here in North Carolina, they had a town that could not elect a mayor. Know why?
No.
Nobody ran for the office.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
Now, that's really sad.
There was also a town, and it was in North Carolina, and I don't even know what town it is. I remember Bob talking about it yesterday, where the person who was running for mayor got less votes than the number of write-in votes.
Wow.
Well, I think one way you might account for that was I know another town close by here. I guess it ought to remain unnamed this time. But I was in communication with a couple of people who live in that town, and they were really disappointed because they didn't think any of the people that were running were conservative, that they all didn't think that they really had the welfare of the other people there in the town at heart. It was more for their own aggrandizement or whatever, and they said they were going to vote for people like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. So maybe those write-ins were people that were just protesting. Actually, it could be. I don't know.
I mean, I'm thinking of a ballot that would have three choices, and the fourth choice would be none of the above.
Yeah. Well, that sure helped the situation, didn't it?
Yeah.
Solved the problem. Right.
Well,
there.
It doesn't. But I tell you, one thing, to me, it's got a kind of a bright side, because if you are interested and you work hard, you get out and you back up the candidate that you think would be the most more aligned with the way you think, and you work hard for that, you can have a real influence on the outcome.
Yes.
A lot of people we know have done that sort of thing, and it does change outcomes.
If you rush over and talk to those people that are going in to vote and get their attention for just a few minutes and see if they've got questions that you can answer about the candidate of your choice, you can have a huge influence on them.
Yep, you sure can. Well, folks, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we're going to talk about this topic a little bit more when we come back, because I think people need to understand the importance of it and the gravity of it, and you know how one or two votes can mean the difference in the whole election. Just, anyway, Let's hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we started off the show talking about yesterday's election and the process and, you know, the pitiful turnout that we're having here. These are municipal elections, local towns, city governments. Folks, that's where it all starts. You can't brush that off as not being important because the president's not on the ballot or the governor's not on the ballot. That's where it all starts, and that's, you know, that's where you live, your community. You should really be concerned about the governance of it and make sure that you either go in early vote if it's a problem, you know, with your job being able to get off and vote. Don't make excuses. Please get involved, get out there, and get the job done because the future of our country, of our cities, of everything that we fought and died for is at stake here. So we really need to get busy on it.
You know, I think it's even bigger than that. Voting is important, but that isn't the be-all, end-all of citizenship. Our founders thought that what we ought to do is observe the people around us who are of good moral character and exhibit leadership qualities, talk them into running, support them in their run, and then be one of the people who vote for them and persuade other people to vote for them and then hold their feet to the fire. Follow up, keep up with what's going on. Well, voting is a teeny tiny bit of the iceberg that is good citizenship. if we're not doing that well, and if people just wander in without knowing who they're going to vote for and haven't done their homework, aren't being good citizens, and people who don't do all of the things involved in good citizenship just flat out aren't being good citizens.
I'm glad
we need to remind ourselves of what our duties are.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it's an excellent point. Our founding fathers did anticipate and expect that we would put people of good moral mm-hmm. character in positions of power in our in office, and we failed at that.
Yeah. If we don't like anybody on the ballot, and it sounds like from what Bob was talking about a town fairly close to here, we aren't satisfied with who's on the ballot. Well, have we considered running? Have we observed somebody who really ought to run and talked them into it?
Right.
If we don't like what's happening, we've been sitting around doing nothing much too long. It's time to have at it.
Well, it was putting those people without good moral character, moral foundations into office that made us what we are today.
Yep.
We ended up here because of that.
It's our own fault, but the good news is we can fix it.
The people that don't have the conviction and the backbone to stand up for what is right and what is moral and what is good for our country have let things come into place that many years ago would have been totally against the law. Well, there are laws on the books against all of it, pretty much.
And actually, more than that, against the law, yes, but it would be so against the beliefs of masses of society that it just wouldn't stand. People wouldn't fight the flow of general opinion. Now general opinion has become much more... It's as if people don't care.
Right.
We need to pay attention, we need to care, we need to stand up for what we believe.
Well, I'll say this and then I'll get off the topic. It wasn't by accident. It started with socialism and communism being brought into our government. And there's a plan to take it over. They got rid of God, they got rid of so many of the moral laws that we have.
There's a hierarchy of ways to get it embedded in our country, and a hierarchy of tools to use to do that, and they've been at work. Both of those things have been at work for very many years now.
One of them is indoctrinating the children.
Right.
Yes.
Our education system, all those things, and we'll touch on those. We do in frequent shows. We get off on all that. Mary, you're...
I want to piggyback on something Rayner said. Tip O'Neill, who was the Speaker of the House from Massachusetts for a while, said all politics is local.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that we elect locally provide the group of people that will advance through the state level and many times to the federal level.
Bingo.
Donald Trump is the exception. He came out of the business world.
He's the exception to almost anything you can need.
This is true.
Name, but thank goodness he is.
But most of our presidents have come through the political system. Mm-hmm. Many of them have been senators. Many of them have been governors. They've been around. They've held positions. And our local governments are the feeder supply for our federal officials.
The farm team.
So if we're not electing good people locally, we're not going to have good people federally. And if we're not paying attention to who we vote for locally, we're not going to have good people federally.
Right. Yeah. And that brings me back to another thing our founding fathers were aware of, and that's having parties, political parties, was going to be detrimental to our government. And it's proven that
they were right.
They were right.
Again,
they were right. Folks, you have to look at the values and the principles of these candidates, not at what party they're in. You know, yes, we all go out and we have to register and we'll pick a party and register under a certain party, or a lot of people now are registering unaffiliated, and you know, more and more are starting to move in that direction if you look at the statistics. But there's just as bad in one party as there is in the other. And, you know, some people listen to the show a lot, may think we're anti-Democrat or anti-Republican or whatever, but I want to tell you, the Republicans don't have anything to say here as far as I'm concerned. They had the supermajority here in North Carolina, and what did they do with it?
Nothing much.
They let the Democrats still run right over them with everything. They had the majority in D.C., in the House, and what did they do with it? They gave it up. And then you had 55 of them retire and just pretty much hand it over.
They're bad apples in every barrel, Rick, but the platform of the two parties are distinctly different.
They are.
So I think and party that, needs to be one indicator, only one.
Right. And that's why we, you know, I keep saying we're nonpartisan, but because of that vast difference in the platforms, one platform way out there lines up with our principles, mm-hmm. and our what our CCTA mission is, and the other platform doesn't even approach it. So, you know, and it doesn't mean we're partisan. It's they don't agree with our principles.
Yep. And of the people that have gotten elected, we need to work at getting rid of the bad apples and replacing them with someone that is shows the qualities we've been talking about.
Okay, would you relinquish the microphone to Hal for a moment?
Oh, I guess
thanks,
I could
Rick.
Be persuaded.
I appreciate that. You know, Mary made the statement that all politics are local. And I was thinking the same thing when she said it first. But I never admired a lot of things that President Abraham Lincoln did during the recent War of Northern Aggression. But one thing he did that I do admire very much was he said the same thing, that all politics are local, and we need to know our neighbors. We need to know who would make a good representative for us. We need to get out and know those people, know how they think, know who they're going to vote for.
Absolutely.
And if we could get that local feeling back again, it would change the country.
All right.
And hopefully they don't make careers of it.
Right.
I want to bring in a totally different subject, but it's around voting. How many of you have heard of RCV, ranked choice voting?
Yes.
This is out in, I'm going to use as the example, out in San Francisco. There was a run for the, the district attorney. And the vote getter, the first place vote getter, got 35,400 plus votes. The next vote getter got 33,200. Now they bring in something called the ranked choice voter, which says if your choice doesn't win, who would you like to have instead? And by adding in, and I don't know the math of how they added in, all of a sudden the second place became the first place because he got 47,200 votes and the other one got 46,900 plus votes. Help.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And it's kind of like with Hillary and the Electoral College. You know, she's still out there. I could beat him again.
Yeah.
You know, well, you didn't beat him in the first place. Under our election system, you may have gotten the popular vote, but that's the very reason that our founding fathers put the Electoral College into place. It's because, just real quickly, I know we've done it before, but in case there's somebody listening that hadn't heard it before, the Electoral College simply protects you from having the biggest states rule over the smallest states.
Not even the biggest states, well, the biggest cities.
Biggest cities.
Yeah, the big population centers.
Do we really want to be ruled by New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco?
So there keep the Electoral College, but get rid of that manipulative RCV nonsense.
Right.
Well, I think one of the New England states, it's either New Hampshire or Vermont, was talking about it, but I don't know that they put it in.
Well, yep. You know what Bob said about the way the votes were counted kind of reminded me of, I looked into something while I was working down there in Havelock, and it sounded a little confusing to me. They had five people running, and only three were going to
make it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Three seats
open. All right, so you go in and you tell the people that's on the way in, there are five people on the ballot, I often said that, and vote for three. And I'd tell them which one that I was in favor of. Well, then I got to thinking, How are they going to rate those? So I asked somebody, how do they do it? Do they rate them 1, 2, and 3, or they rate it all equally, or what? And the answer that came back was, they count the number of votes that each person got. It doesn't matter in what order at all. So then when you look at that, the total number of votes is going to be greater than the number of people that voted. Mm-hmm. It's kind of strange.
Yeah, because each person gets 3 votes.
Yeah.
And I tell you something I overheard that I found interesting. There was one person suggesting that everybody vote for one candidate only, because they thought that would give an advantage to the one candidate they favored.
All right.
Oh, interesting.
It's amazing all the different ways that people come up with to get around established processes and what mm-hmm. practices of the way we've done things. You know, we went through 200 years of stuff working just fine. Look at the education system. I heard on the news the other day, I'm going to say I think it's California. I may be wrong about that. But somewhere they're trying to teach the teachers how to teach math.
Well,
didn't we figure that out way back there? Even before this country, you know, and it worked very well. Now, most of our students, or a lot of our students, I can't remember what the percentage is, are failing math. They can't do math under all this new way of doing things. The more they try to improve it, the worse our results are getting, not just in math, but in education in general.
Well, human ingenuity is wonderful, but it can be used for good or for ill.
Another observation I've had about elections is how important it is that you get out and work during the primary for the candidate of your choice. Now, a lot of the political parties kind of discourage that because they'd like the establishment to pick the candidate that's going to be on the, and then you work real hard to get that candidate elected. I'm not going to play that game.
Right.
I'm going to get out there and work early on in the primary for the person that I think should get the job eventually. So you have to work in the primary, then you got to turn around and work in the general election. But that's the way it works.
I'm glad you use that word, establishment, because that's a big part of the problem with the party system.
Mm-hmm.
They get in there, they work hard, they've got good intentions, and then they get back the next year, and they keep and they get a little bit higher up in the hierarchy, and then they become the establishment.
They begin to think they've paid their dues, it's their turn, they feel entitled, and that is not healthy.
And they totally forget all the principles that they're supposed to be operating mm-hmm. under.
So we need to be vigilant.
And they're saying that a lot of the members of Congress have resigned because once they've gotten in the position of holding, because of their seniority, holding important positions in committeeships.
Right, the chairs.
The chairs. Then if they...
They can't stand the demotion of not...
They can't stand the demotion
not
being, so they resign.
Having that office anymore.
That's what happened. That's what I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Real quick, Mary.
I want to talk about some of the wisdom of our founding fathers.
Well, that's a short talk. Oh, no, that's a long one.
Senator George McGovern, when he left the Senate, opened a bed and breakfast in Connecticut. And he wrote an article a number of years later for Forbes magazine. You can still find it on the internet. About if he had understood the impact of the legislation he was making on the average businessman, he probably wouldn't have passed a lot of bills he passed. Hmm. And had he spent 4 years in the Senate rather than the extended period he spent there, as the founding fathers would have been in favor of, actually 6 years is a Senate term, they would have been in favor of 1 or 2 terms. They wouldn't have been in favor of a career politician. So his experience is an example of the wisdom of the founding fathers.
Right. And folks, we got to stop here and take another break. But before we do, you need to start preparing right now for the next election, which is in February, the primary.
March.
If there's not another lawsuit and all that. Yeah. But in March, we have a primary coming up. And it's very, very important. And I want you to really start paying attention and take it serious because, like I said, the future of our country depends on it. All right, let's take a break, hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back, and we're going to get on another topic.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, Bob, during the break, and Bob is our treasurer, so
the
money man.
Right, and he's got 10 fingers, and he's real good with them.
And an abacus, yeah.
And an abacus. And a slide rule, too. I bet you still got your slide.
I can find it.
Yeah. Anyway, give us those statistics you were just giving us.
The simple math, again. What does the representative, the average representative, now this isn't the chairs because they make more, what does the average U.S. representative make?
About $175,000.
Okay. How many Democrat representatives are there in the House right now? 233.
Right.
What is 233 times 175,000, actually 174, I think? It is a little over $40 million. What did we get for our $40 million?
A lot of comedy.
And not much else.
That's it. That's it.
Now, in reference to that statement, they have spent the past 3 years trying to remove President Trump from office. And now the latest is the testimony of Ambassador Sondland, that was the smoking gun. Well, I want to have a little fun with that for a minute, because Mark Meadows, who is very much on top of things, posted a portion of that testimony, and I would just like to read it. It's short.
Okay.
It says, with respect to the September 1, 2019 Warsaw meeting, the conversations described in Ambassador Taylor's and Mr. Morrison's opening statements have refreshed my recollection about conversations involving the suspension of U.S. aid, which had become public only days earlier. I always believed that suspending aid to Ukraine was ill-advised, although I did not know and still do not know when, why, or by whom the aid was suspended. However, by the beginning of September 2019, and in the absence of any credible explanation for the suspension of aid, I presumed that the aid suspension had become linked to the proposed anti-corruption statement. As I said in my prepared testimony, security aid to Ukraine was in our vital national interest and should not have been delayed for any reason. And it would have been natural for me to have voiced what I presumed to Ambassador Taylor, Senator Johnson, the Ukrainians, and Mr. Morrison. So he's saying, I didn't know anything. I just assumed it.
Assumed it and presumed it.
So we're going to impeach a president over something somebody presumed?
Right. But the real content there that I want to stress is the fact that he was talking about Ukrainian corruption. And that, to me, that's the whole issue here that is not coming to light too much, at least in mainstream media. All they can talk about is because of a political opponent, trying to get dirt on a political opponent. Does that mean from now on we can never hold anybody accountable for corruption as long as they're running in office?
It's even worse than that, because during the 2016 election, we have records of Hillary going to the Ukrainian embassy to get dirt on Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
And the information that got rid of Paul Manafort came from the Ukraine. So they're accusing President Trump of what they've already done.
Well, if you repeat a lie often enough, long enough, for a lot of people, it'll become the truth. And that's what they're doing here. They're trying to paint a picture out there, and it's in the media every day, that it had nothing to do with corruption. It's because of a political opponent, and you're trying to take out a political opponent. Mm. And it's okay when they do it, but Rainer?
Mary, I know you meant to say that Mark Meadows tweeted something that brought that out about Ambassador Soundless.
Yes, that's the testimony that I read.
Right, and he made the comment that it was jumped on that business of based on assumptions. When you told it just now, it sounded to me like you were saying Mark Meadows said all that.
No.
But he would connect.
No, it was Ambassador Soundland.
And since you told me about it earlier, I knew that's
okay.
What had happened.
No, thanks for clarifying that, because that would have been a misimpression.
Sure. I was wondering about, Mary, we said something earlier in our conversations about what's going to happen this coming week, likely to do with some of the FBI.
John Durham and William Barr.
Yeah.
Will, and actually, I don't know if William Barr actually is directly involved in releasing the report, but John Durham certainly has been investigating the FISA warrants and the things that went into this investigation of President Trump, which has turned out to be totally bogus. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Under Obama, and I suspect long before Obama got there, the FBI was politicized. He used it as a political weapon. We should have realized that when we saw the charges against the new Black Panthers dropped, even after there was a video.
I think a lot of us did realize it, but we were powerless to do anything about it. Because, again, we put our faith and our trust in our elected officials, the people we sent up there to represent us, who sat back silent and didn't say anything or take any action against it.
But that was the DOJ. It wasn't the FBI necessarily.
Well,
so it seems to have permeated the bureaucracy in the executive branch.
Well, we saw the IRS with Lois Lerner.
Uh-huh.
She's living a happy retirement on her retirement pay.
Well, let's stop and just think back to that time. A lot of our top military officials lost their jobs and were
yes.
replaced with
weenies.
Scapegoats, whatever
yeah.
you want.
Weenies.
Yeah, weenies. The intelligence agencies were staffed with
deep staters.
Deep staters. I mean, you know, let me explain to our listeners. Guys, I had to get up at 4 o'clock and go open the polls. And then the polls closed at 7:30, and then we had to tally up and pack up and all that. So, and I'm in the farthest part of the county that you can get in, I had to drive all the way back to New Bern. So it was late when I got home and got to bed, and then I slept 2 hours and woke up. So these people are finding the words for me, and I appreciate that. Because they're running into roadblocks up here. Somewhere between my thinker and my talker, something's going
Rick,
on.
Rick, you're doing better than you think you are.
Yes, you are, Rick. Don't worry about that.
Bob.
You know, Rick, one of the things that we as an organization stand strong for is the Second Amendment.
Hear, hear.
Okay. Now, the reason that I'm bringing that up is I know that we also stand strong for the right of concealed carry.
Yes.
But I think more than that right now, we need to stand strong for the Second Amendment to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government.
Well, that's what it was intended for.
That is the real contingency against a tyrannical government, because as we watch the deep state, again, still fighting us as individuals and trying to mute our ability to speak, our Second Amendment is really there, it's quite a God-given
provision. Well, they're trying
provision.
To negate our decision in the last presidential election.
It's a God-given provision.
I don't know who said it, but the best quote I have heard on the Second Amendment is, "The men who wrote the Second Amendment were not returning from a hunting trip. They were founding a country."
Right.
I was at a meeting just recently, and a guy was up there, and he was open carrying. He said, "I see I'm the only one packing." And a bunch of us said, "What makes you think so?"
Yeah. Well, while we're on that topic, let me go ahead and inform our listeners that we are having a Second Amendment rally. This is a fundraiser for CCTA, and it's going to be very exciting. It's on November the 23rd, and that's on a Saturday. It's going to be held at the Craven County Law Enforcement Officers Association range, and this is where they train. It's a gun range. They have a very nice building there, and we have some very good speakers coming in. Top of the list is Mark Robinson. He's a candidate for lieutenant governor now, but that's not why we're having him in. We're having him in because he stood up for not just his own rights, but all of our rights, our Second Amendment rights, in Greensboro. He went to city council where they were attacking guns and all that. I can't remember exactly what the proposal they had on the floor was. But Mark Robinson stood up and said he wanted to know when they were going to start looking out for the majority. He said, "And you want to know who the majority is? I'm the majority. We, the law-abiding citizens that haven't committed any crimes or done anything wrong, are the majority." And his video is on YouTube. You can see that Greensboro City Council meeting. He's a very powerful, very dynamic speaker. And he's one of our guest speakers. We also have Sheriff Chip Hughes from Craven County. He's going to come in and give us an update on what's going on around here and his stand on Second Amendment. And, you know, if the feds come in here and say you got to take their guns, he's got an answer for them. as well as Sheriff Asa Buck from Carter County. And then we have North Carolina Representative Michael Speciale. He'll update us on legislation, recent gun legislation in the North Carolina House, and also Representative Keith Kidwell.
Read what it says under Keith's name.
Under Keith Kidwell?
Yeah.
You're going to make me put my glasses on.
Right, but it's worth it.
It's all right. North Carolina Representative Keith Kidwell. He's a gun-toting new kid on the block, and he fights for Second Amendment rights. That's right. And same with Michael Speciale. He's formed alliances and changed minds for Second Amendment rights in Raleigh. He's been successful. So those are the speakers we have on the list right now. Now, the way this thing's going to start out, at noon we're going to have a barbecue dinner. We've got plates that are going to be catered by one of our sponsors, Moore's Barbecue. And you know, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Sure enough.
So we'll start out with a barbecue plate lunch. The tickets are $20. That includes the barbecue plate lunch. We're going to raffle off a firearm. And That $20 ticket also includes one chance in that raffle. And after we've heard our speakers speak, we're going and we've finished eating and all that, we're going to go out on the gun range and have a turkey shoot. Now, the turkey shoot, the tickets are separate because everybody's not going to want to participate in that. So that's not included in your $20 ticket. I think those tickets are going to be $5. And also the range will be open for some training and target practice. Randy Seiler, he's going to give in our, one of our door prizes. We're going to have door prizes also, and you get one door prize ticket in that $20. He's going to give a free concealed carry class, and he's also going to have his laser training system set up. It's pistols with lasers and all that and tied to the computer, and he'll have that on site. Hal?
And Mary wants everybody to know we're not going to shoot any turkeys there.
Right.
Yeah, there will be no turkeys harmed.
No turkeys harmed, not any dropped out of helicopters or anything else. So, folks, that's, again, November 23rd, Saturday, and it's at the Craven County Law Enforcement Officers Association range. Tickets, we're in the process of getting them made available. I'm setting up a page on our website so that you can go there and buy your tickets. And also, you can go to cctaxpayers.com, and we'll keep you posted on all that information. Door prizes, gun raffle, turkey shoot, barbecue lunch, great speakers, you name it. It's going to be a great Second Amendment rally in support of our Second Amendment, and those officials that have been elected to support it will be there to talk to you about it.
Great.
All right. All right. Okay, well, let's good place to take another break. We'll come right back and finish up this show.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security, LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills. Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. this Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina. Pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we've been having some great topics to talk about here, and we were talking about the Second Amendment before we went to break, and I want to give you also an update on our November public meeting. It's the third Tuesday of every month we have a public meeting, and this month, you know, I can't remember what month it was, but several months back we had public meeting on the opioid crisis, and we brought in Sheriff Chip Hughes and Sheriff Asa Buck and Sheriff Chris Davis. That was Craven, Carter, and Pamlico County Sheriffs. Now, Chip's newly elected sheriff. This is his first term, and Chris Davis is, I think he's still the youngest sheriff in North Carolina, or in the country. Down in Pamlico County. And Asa Buck, he's just a good old boy, and he gets the job done. But these three have formed an alliance working together to get rid of the drugs in Eastern North Carolina, and they're having a huge impact and great success at it. And that opioid epidemic meeting we had opened a lot of eyes. It was very well attended and very well appreciated. The feedback on it was excellent, very good. So November the 19th, I believe it is, November the 19th, third Tuesday, 7 o'clock, downtown New Bern at Stanley Hall Ballroom. Those gentlemen are coming back, at least a couple of them anyway. It's kind of hard, you know, they have things going on. I was bringing them in a couple of months ago, and we couldn't do it because the feds had a big thing going on that they were working together on. And after it was all said and done, there was like, I think it was 59 arrests or something like that. Druggies and dealers taken off the
streets.
It
wasn't petty cash.
No. So,
by the way, Rick, on November 19th, bring birthday cards for me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is that your birthday?
Yes.
All right.
We'll have to be saying happy birthday to him.
Bob wants birthday cards on the 19th for his birthday with a slice of cake inserted in the card. Okay, anyway, that meeting is at 7 o'clock, Stanley Hall Ballroom, and they're going to give us an update. And I know they've been very, very successful. They continue to work hard together, and they're going to let us know what they've been doing. They're also going to talk to us about illegal immigration and working with ICE and human trafficking and some other issues. And then we're going to have a Q&A session so you can interact with them, ask them questions, and get feedback from them there. So that's November 19th. Hope you'll come and join us. It's always free and open to the public. All right, Mary, tell me what's going on up in Montgomery County, Maryland.
Well, Montgomery County, Maryland was a sanctuary county.
Yes.
And they had a problem with illegal aliens committing sexual assaults.
Yes.
And these were serious sexual assaults. And the county executive, Mark Elrich, has now backpedaled. He's not quite sure that he likes this sanctuary county thing.
No kidding.
And he has, he's going to allow ICE agents to apprehend illegal aliens in his custody, but only in identified areas in the Montgomery County Jail. Well, it's not a full solution, but it's certainly a better solution.
Well, it looks like somebody's eyes are getting opened. I'm very much aware of what was going on in Montgomery County. Our son and two of our grandchildren were living in Montgomery County, and the sexual assaults, murders, decapitations, MS-13 activity.
Yes, it was ugly.
Yes, very bad. We worried about our grandchildren all the time. Thankfully, they were able to move out of Montgomery County, and they're further north in northern part of Maryland, where it's a whole different thing. In Montgomery County, when we would visit, it was like being in a third world country.
But at least he's cooperating to some extent with ICE, and they are going to turn over the illegals who've committed crimes in certain areas of the jail, and the quote is, to ensure that transfers are conducted in a safe environment. But they're, as you say, they're dealing with MS-13. Those are not nice people.
No, they're not. And there were some horrible things that happened while my son and his family were living there.
Rainer and I saw a car with a license plate, and I don't know how they had one. His license plate on the back. It just looked like a regular license plate, and it said MS-13. They were a rough-looking gang of people in there, too, weren't they, honey?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, one last thing before we go. And that is to ask you to please visit our sponsors. We got some great sponsors, and it's because of them that we're able to come and visit with you every week. And just in case you aren't aware, we are at 6 a.m. on Saturday mornings, again at 10 a.m. on Sunday. 11 a.m. on Sundays, and 8 p.m. on Sundays. Now, during football season, that may vary depending on who's playing and when they're playing. But those are our normal scheduled times. And as always, our shows are archived on our website, cctaxpayers.com. Click on the Wake Up Call button, and you can go back and listen to shows that you missed or ones that were just so doggone good you can't get enough of them. Well, we appreciate our viewers, our listeners. It's a good thing you can't see us, folks, because we ain't all that.
We're dressed for radio.
Yes. I have a face for radio, they tell me. So. So anyway, thanks for tuning in and joining us today. We hope you'll come back and join us again next week for CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, also the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake-Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.